Jesus Plus Nothing, 100% natural, no additives. Andrew Farley celebrating your freedom in Christ. Call in and ask your questions at 877-655-6755. That's toll free at 877-655-6755. Via satellite from Texas, it's Andrew Farley Live.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Andrew Farley Live. This is Andrew. We are live for the next half hour, taking your calls across the United States and Canada. That number, 877-655-6755. If you've got a question tonight about a scripture passage, maybe there's something you heard from a friend or in a Bible study or at church recently, and, you're not so sure about it. You're still scratching your head wondering, well, let's talk it over. Let's make it a conversation together right now, 877-655-6755. We've got plenty of open lines this evening. In fact, four open lines still, plenty of room for you, very little wait. If you've got a personal issue going on in your life tonight, a question about something going on in your family, in your marriage, with your kids, or at your church, whatever it might be, give us a call right now. Four open lines, plenty of room for you. Very little wait, 877-655-6755. And if you're a first-time caller tonight, please know we love to hear from our first-time callers. We'd love to hear from you. And if you're a veteran listener, maybe you've called in the past, but you've got a new question tonight, by all means, join us as well. Again, that number, wide open lines, 877-655-6755. Well, we're only a week away from our Relaxing with God conference. Yeah, that's right, 1 week away. We've been waiting patiently, and we're excited about this event coming up in Dallas, Texas, and there are still a few seats remaining. So if you're interested in being a part of this event, we would love to have you. I would love to meet you there. It's happening March 9th in Dallas, Texas, just 1 week away. It is the Relaxing with God Conference, and people from all over the United States and beyond are flying in to join like-minded believers who want to celebrate the finished work of Jesus Christ and celebrate the fullness of God's grace together. That's what we're going to be doing March 9th in Dallas, Texas at the Relaxing with God Conference. And if you're interested in joining us, you can go to our website right there on the homepage. There's a conference banner for the Relaxing with God Conference, and you can click on that banner. It will give you all the information you need as well as how to register. And that website is andrewfarley.org. That's andrewfarley.org. So visit the website and register today for that conference just 1 week away, the Relaxing with God Conference in Dallas, Texas. We hope to see you there. All right, well, for the first call of the evening, we're going to go out to Utah, and we'll talk with Brian. Hey, Brian, what have you got for us tonight?
Hey, Andrew. I'm struggling with Romans 8, verse 1.
Okay.
Talking about no condemnation. I've been through churches that teach you have to confess your sins, and I believe that 1 John has to do with evangelism.
Yeah.
And but still, it just does not make sense to me. You know, if somebody sins, then I believe Jesus paid for all my sins, beginning to the end. You know.
Right.
It just is not making sense to me, and I've been born again since I was about 15 or 16 years old, and it still makes no sense to me.
Now, which part? Let's talk about this, Brian. I want to make sure I understand what you're saying. I mean, which part of Romans 8:1 is confusing you?
Okay. So it says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And then some people accept the second part of the verse. Some people don't.
Okay.
So if I sin, it only takes one sin to mess things up with God, obviously, because of the example of Adam. You know, you can't justify sin. Sin is sin. So if I've been listening to people tell me that I can live my life and I don't have to base it on works. I can just go and live a life that is not sin conscious. But then I've heard preachers that are, you know, if you sin,
I don't know.
I've been hearing this for years, you know.
Okay. I think I got a good handle now, Brian, on what you are asking about. I mean, basically, your question centers on Romans 8, verse 1, and the fact that you can go to the King James Bible, for example, and it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Now, in most other translations of the Bible in English, that last part is not in the verse. Now, let me just repeat that so people can understand what is in the King James, but what is not in many other English translations. Here it is again. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." So then, a very legalistic interpretation of this is that, Brian, look, there's no condemnation from you for you as long as you do the walking. In other words, as long as you walk right, as long as you talk right, as long as you act right, as long as you do your part, then there's no condemnation for you who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So it sounds like you'd better get busy doing your part, and then God will get busy doing his part, namely not condemning you. Well, let me tell you, that is not the intention of the Apostle Paul in this passage. If you look at many other English translations, it simply says this: "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, period." Now, you say, where did that phrase come from? Why is it hanging out in the King James and not in other translations that we have? Well, here's what we know. We know that it is most likely that a scribe accidentally copied that phrase, perhaps in the margin as they were making copies of manuscripts. They copied that phrase, which belongs in verse 4. And they accidentally inserted it in verse 1. So let me read verse 4 to you, and it says this: "So that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Now, the reason that that phrase is in verse 1 in the King James is most likely because of this mistake that a scribe made. Now, why isn't it in the New American Standard? Why isn't it in the NIV? Why isn't it in many other, in fact, most other English translations? Because we have earlier manuscripts where that phrase does not belong to verse 1. So, you know, that's the fact, first of all. Second of all, it's common sense that you don't have to walk a certain way in order to earn no condemnation from God. I mean, Jesus bought you. No condemnation from God. Jesus purchased in his blood through the cross no condemnation from God. So it's great that we have an option to walk, and it's great that we have a new calling and a heart desire to walk according to the Spirit. But it is not our walking that earns us favor with God. So that's a very important point to make. Now, let me just say this. Somebody might say, well, what's that phrase doing in verse 4? I mean, if it's not in verse 1, great. But what is it doing in verse 4? Well, let's read verses 1 to 4, and I think you'll get the gist of it. Here it is. "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Why not? It says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free." That's why there's no condemnation, Brian, because the Spirit of God has set you free. He's not hanging out going, well, if Brian will do the walking, I will set him free. No, this is past tense. The Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. What the law could not do, God did. How did he do it? He sent his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Why did he do it? Verse 4, "So that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us." Who are we? Well, here's who we are. We are those who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So then he begins a contrast between unbelievers and believers. Those who are according to their flesh, well, guess what they do? They set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, what do? They set their minds on things of the Spirit. This is a contrast of unbelievers and believers. What is the takeaway here? Well, we are of the Spirit, and we have a new tendency. We have a new trend. We have a new hope within us. We have a new way to walk and a new way to set our minds. And isn't it great news that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has, past tense, has set us free, and that's why there's no condemnation for us. So we don't walk in order to earn no condemnation. We start with the gospel message that there is no condemnation for us, and then we walk in light of the love and grace of God. And that's an agape love, an unconditional love, and that's an amazing grace, a grace in our face that inspires us to live uprightly. Brian, I hope that gives some clarity and insight on Romans 8:1. I appreciate your call tonight. Reach out to us again anytime. Great to hear from you. All right, let's go now to New York, and we'll talk with Lamar. Hey, Lamar.
Hello.
Hi, what's on your mind tonight, Lamar?
Yes, I was struggling with condemnation, and there's some things that I didn't do, and like one of them was, like, I felt like I didn't receive the Lord when he came to me, and then everything else is trying to get to him. And I've been, you know, a Christian for a while, but I feel like I keep missing the Lord on his terms. And how do I get to that place where I'm back in fellowship? You know, I lost the presence of God. How do I get back into fellowship with him in that area?
Okay. And Lamar, can you tell me a little bit about what are his terms? I mean, when you say get back with him on his terms, what are his terms that you have not lived up to or fallen short of?
Like, yes, thank you. Like, just obeying him. And I feel like I haven't been obedient. Like, he would prompt me to do something, and I wouldn't do it. And I, you know, first of all, I get to the point where I'm hopeless, and then the next stage is I don't think God will talk to me. Then he talks to me, and then I'm just like not, you know, moving when he, you know, speaks. So.
Okay, and can you give Lamar? Let me ask you. Just give one example of a leading or something that he asked you to do that you weren't willing to be obedient.
Like he called me up to the altar, and I didn't go, and I felt like he was like tugging on my heart. Mm-hmm. That's one example, and I didn't go, and I don't, you know, and.
And what do you think the altar was about? In other words, why did he want you up there?
I think he wanted to save me and fill me with the Holy Ghost.
But you were already a believer, or?
I was a believer, but I think, I don't know, like, what my status is. I confessed the Lord, but I didn't, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if I was lukewarm or what it was.
Okay. All right, Lamar, thank you for sharing and answering my questions there. I think that's pretty clear then. We've got a situation where, you know, there's confusion and, you know, you're not sure of where you stand. And so, you know, I think that what we need to do then is really look at the scriptures and what they're saying about you. You're getting a leading. Watch this now. This is the strategy of the enemy. You're getting a leading, and then you're getting beat up for not following that leading, and then you're getting accused for not following that leading, and then you're told that you're out of fellowship, that you don't have God's presence, that you need to be filled with the Spirit, and you're not. I've got some great news for you, my friend. Listen, the truth always sets you free. And so here's what the Bible says about you, Lamar. you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, so you don't need more of the Spirit. Romans tells us in Romans chapter 8, anyone who does not have the Spirit of God does not belong to God. So either you belong to God and you've got the Spirit, or you don't belong to God and you don't have the Spirit. But it's impossible for you, Lamar, to belong to God, to be a Christian, to be a child of God, and then somehow be missing the Spirit. So hear me out, because I think that you have gotten a heavy dose of some teaching that has confused you and put you on edge trying to get more of God and get back in fellowship and gain favor with Him and find His presence again. You know, the truth of the matter is this. When you received Christ, you received His presence. The Bible says that you are complete, that you lack nothing, that you have everything you need for life and godliness, that you are in Christ and Christ is in you, that He is the vine, you are the branches, that you are one Spirit with the Lord. So I just want you to think about how you have been in a vicious cycle, my friend, and this is the cycle that you have been in. Feel good, feel great, feel close to God, feel spiritual. Something happens, you mess up, you blame yourself, you get down on yourself, you feel condemned, you go to church, there's an invitation to go up front, you feel like you got to go up front to get more of the Spirit, get more of His presence, get back in fellowship, but wait, you don't have the guts, you're not brave enough, and then the enemy hits you with, you didn't go up, so guess what? You are doomed to be the black sheep in God's family, to be on a lesser level, to be lower, and all of that business, and it's just not true. Let me say a few things. There are no altar calls in the Bible. You know why? Because there aren't any altars. The altars were done away with. Altars are Old Testament. You have the cross. You don't need an altar. Jesus hung on that cross. He said it's finished. He doesn't need to hang on the cross again. You going up front at a church service week after week, month after month, year after year, looking for something up there. I'm going to tell you, Lamar, there's nothing up there. There's nothing at the front of that church. You have everything you need. Christ in you. Blessed with every spiritual blessing. You don't go up front to get more of Jesus. You don't go up front to get more of the Spirit. If you are one Spirit with the Lord, complete, lacking nothing, blessed with every spiritual blessing, He who has the Son has the life. If you've got the life, you've got the Son. If you've got the Son, you've got the life. Don't go forward to get more of Jesus. I may be the only pastor you hear in your lifetime that says that to you, but I'm telling you, you find me the altar call in the New Testament, and I will publicly apologize. There is no altar call in the New Testament. You know why? Because there's no altar. And you don't need to go back getting more and more and more and more of Jesus every week at a church service. This is what is confusing you. You need to rest in the fact that through the cross, you have been totally forgiven, past, present, and future. Through the cross, you have been brought near to God once for all, forgiven. Totally, completely. You can't be any more forgiven than you already are. Second, the resurrection has done a work for you, Lamar. If you have received Jesus Christ, then you have been raised to newness of life. You're a child of God. You've got a new heart, a new spirit, and God's Spirit living in you. You don't need to pray, God, fall fresh, come down into this place, be with me. He's not going to do it. You know why He won't fall fresh? Because He's already living in you. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. Do you know why He's not going to come down into this place, as so many people say at church? Because He's already come down into that place called you. You are the church. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the building. Christ lives in you. And so you need to know that, my friend, and be strengthened by God's grace. God's grace will teach you and counsel you and guide you into the truth of your completeness in Him. And candidly, you have been a sucker for the sales pitch of religion that says you need more. Come down and get more. Give your money and get more. Give money and get blessed. Come down front and receive from the pastor as he zaps you. None of that is the truth. If you have received Jesus Christ, He has made you complete. You have everything you need in Him. You lack nothing. You don't need to go shopping for more. So this is what has caused the confusion, Lamar. God wants to teach you a greater truth, and that is that He is enough, that He dwells within you, that you're one with Him, that you've already got the new heart, that you're sealed with His Holy Spirit, that you don't have to wait for His presence. His presence is not a feeling. His presence is a fact. Well, Lamar, I want to hear from you again, brother. I hope that is an encouragement to you, and I want to just give you an opportunity to get a resource from us. So we have a book called Relaxing with God, and I'm going to send that your way and make sure you get that by next week. And reach out to us again. We would love to hear from you again. And our hope and prayer is that you will be encouraged in the truth about who you are in Jesus Christ and who He is in you. Lamar, thanks for your call. Reach out again anytime. All right, let's go for our final call of the evening. We'll go to Florida, and we'll talk with Jamal. Hey, Jamal.
Hey, Pastor Farley. How are you?
Doing great. We got a couple of minutes, so hit us with it, sir.
I just wanted to, really quick, the statement, fall from grace, my senior pastor mentioned it to me regarding something I did previously a few months back, and it kind of bothered me all day. My day has really been a little bit disturbed. So I wanted to get your, revelation on falling from grace. What does that mean?
Okay, well, Jamal, are you trying to earn your way to heaven?
No.
Okay. All right, I didn't think so, Jamal, but that's exactly what fallen from grace is. So here's a guy that has accused you of falling from grace. Let me read Galatians 5:4. You have been cut off from Christ, severed. You who are seeking to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. So do you see how we've misused and abused this? Here's Jamal, hearing from somebody, in a church or Bible study or group of friends, they're saying, Jamal, you've fallen from grace. Well, the only way a person can fall from grace is if they flirt with the gospel message, if they hear it, if they get an appetizer of Jesus, and then they decide to go back to the temple or go back to Moses or go back to the law from which they had come. That's Galatians 5:4. You have been severed from Christ, you who are doing what? Well, look at it. Clearly, it says you who are seeking to be justified by law. Jamal is not doing that. Jamal is not trying to get right with God by law. He's not trying to get right with God through religious works. And so for someone to hit him with this phrase is just nonsense. And so do you see it? If you've been justified by grace, you can't fall from grace. If you've been saved by grace, you can't fall from grace. The people that have fallen from grace are those who are not saved. They have approached grace. They have looked at grace. They have considered grace. But then, ultimately, they have said, no, thank you. I'll go back to the law. I'll go back to lifeless religion. I'll go back to works trying to earn my way to get God's favor. That is the people. Those are the people in Galatians 5 who have fallen from grace. If you're in grace, you're in grace. It's unshakable, unbreakable. Grace before you, grace on all sides.
For more information on Andrew's books, please visit andrewfarley.org. That's andrewfarley.org. Join us every week at this time as we invite you to celebrate the freedom of God's grace. Goodbye, everybody.